Welcome to Online Church. This is already the third week of MCO, and I hope that you are well and rejoicing in the Lord as well. And I pray that during this time, as we gather together, even not physically together, but even in our homes, that we are still one in spirit. And that's the beauty, you know, of the Church of Jesus Christ, that we're able to gather, even, you know, remotely, even through a TV screen like this. So we can rejoice that we are one in Christ. And we are now going into the second sermon of the Apostles' Creed. And before I go into that, let us read the Bible together. And as always, I will lift up my Bible. So if you, wherever you are right now, just lift up your Bible and recite together with me. This is my Bible. Are you ready? Why don't we all stand and just hold up your Bible and together, one, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. And why don't we read together two passages of Scripture, one from Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, and the other one from Acts chapter 17, verse 24 to 28. So you can follow with me on the screen, and let's read aloud together, even in your home. Read it aloud. Ready? One, two, go. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And then from the book of Acts 17, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. And God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and tutor our hearts, God. And most of all, will you impress upon us your word in such a way not only will it, Lord, inform our minds, it will also inspire our hearts in such a way that God will be excited about the word of God. But most of all, God, we pray that it will instruct our behavior, that our life will be changed and transformed as a result, God. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you can download the sermon notes as well, even from our website, so they can keep, you know, the notes that you may have as you listen to me. And we're going to learn the Apostles' Creed line by line in the next 9 sermons. So you're going to, you know, learn it by heart by the time we finish the entire 10 sermons of this series. And so let me just recap, you know, the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is a statement that sums up for us the basic tenet of our faith. It is the very first creed that was formalized in AD 200 and used firstly to teach believers with a consistent statement to align the church to doctrinal truths, to guard against false teaching, because there was quite a lot of that going around during that time. And secondly, you know, it is used as a sacramental liturgy for water baptism to ask the believer, "Do you believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit?" You know, in the first sermon, the title was "I Believe In." And that was the first 3 words of the Apostles' Creed. And so I unpacked for you the first 3 words. And if you remember, the big idea was, you are what you believe. And it's not just about, you know, the what's and the why's of our belief, but who we are believing in. And so from here on, for the next 9 sermons, we will examine the object of our faith, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you this question. So what do you believe in God? You are what you believe, your behavior, whether it's conscious or subconscious. You know, in the current COVID-19 pandemic, your response is from what you believe about who God is. You know, in our Asian society, it is not whether God exists, right? But which one? There are thousands of gods created and worshipped by men. You know, from Acts chapter 17, the Athenians whom Apostle Paul visited were considered very wise, very learned, and religious at the same time. You know, they have many, many gods. Zeus, for example, was the god of the sky. And Poseidon was the god of the seas. Demeter, you know, was the god of the land and agriculture. and Athena, you know, the god of wisdom and reason. And just in case they missed out any god, they put an altar with the name to an unknown god. That more or less sums up the quest of man for a god. You know, in trying to comprehend the incomprehensible, we fall into the trap of inventing our own definitions. Now, the fact remains that if God is God, He cannot be comprehended, imagined, or even understood, and hence always remains a mystery. And the God of the creed we profess is unsearchable and inconceivable beyond the grasp of human mind. But I tell you what, this God has revealed Himself to us. He who is unknowable has made Himself known to us in His revelation. He revealed through the history of Israel and completely in the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus Himself said in John 14:9, "Anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father." That's a bold statement. And then in John chapter 12, verse 32, He says that, "When I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to Myself." He even said, "No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws them." So, you know, in that line of the Apostle Creed, the first line says, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth." And I pray that, you know, we will, at each sermon that we preach here, you will learn it by heart, line by line. And by the time the 10 sermons are over, you will be able to recite the entire Apostles' Creed. And that is something that I pray that all of us will learn. So this sermon, the big idea is the infinite God who invites me to intimacy. Let me repeat that. The infinite God who invites me to intimacy. So who is this God who is infinitely powerful and yet intimately personal? Now let me introduce you to God as it is revealed to me through the Bible. It is not something I try to figure out and understand, but simply the way it is revealed to me. So there are three aspects of God. And the first one is the Trinitarian God, the Creator God, and the Father God. So I hope you will listen and understand, as it has deep implications for us as believers, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic. And may you find strength and peace as a result. And let me go to the first one, and that is the Trinitarian God. Now, you have heard the word Trinity, which means God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, are there three that is one, or one that is three, or three distinct separate entities? Now, how does anyone say 1 + 1 + 1 = 1? Actually, you can't, and it's a mystery, and I don't blame you if you are confused. Now remember, God is incomprehensible by human mind, and we know God only by revelation. So what does the Bible reveal about God? So what is the Trinity? So our understanding can come only from the revelation of Scriptures. So let me give you one. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says that, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And there in that verse, we are told that there is a Trinitarian God of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, and this is what it says there, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. At that moment, the heaven was opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on Him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is My Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased.'" Now, interestingly, that voice itself is from the Father. Only the Father can say, "This is My Son." And the Spirit comes like a dove, and that's the Spirit of God. And here, as an affirmation of Jesus, He calls "My Son." So there you have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so, you know, if you were to look on the screen right now, there's this figure there. And that figure talks about, you know, the Trinitarian God. There is a circle, and in that circle, it signifies that it is God is one God, and He is sharing the one and same existence, and they are equal in power and glory and have the same will. And in that sense, it describes to you that our God is one God, but yet three. And I tell you what, the most challenging part in understanding this is to balance God's unity and God's diversity. You overemphasize God's oneness, that means one person wearing three costumes, we introduce a heresy called modalism. Now that's a big word, but that's the word to describe that. Then if you were to overemphasize God's threeness, meaning that, you know, we say that God is three, and we overemphasize that, we introduce a heresy called tritheism. Now, again, that's another big word. But, you know, in theology, they try to explain Trinity in different ways. And, you know, I've heard this from even as a young Christian, that some are trying to explain the word Trinity. For example, they say it's like water, H2O, water, ice, water, and steam. And maybe that's what the Trinitarian God is like, ice, water, steam. But the problem with that argument is that it cannot exist at the same time. Now, for example, you know, we also learn in chemistry that there's something called the triple point. At a certain temperature and a certain pressure, you know, at that point, H2O can exist as ice, water, and steam. But that's only, but it still doesn't explain Trinity, you know, to its fullest. Or some people may say 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. And then they will say 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. All right. So they try to explain it that way. Or triangle have three sides. You take away one side, it ceases to be a triangle. And so there are so many different ways to describe the Trinity. And I think, remember, we are trying to describe God, and they're almost an impossible thing. But I like the second figure up on the screen right now for you. And in that figure on the screen, it basically has seven statements that God is one, and Father is God, and Son is God, and Spirit is God. But the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Spirit, and Spirit is not the Father. And so in that sense, it describes for you what it means to be the Trinitarian God. And we are reminded, and yet, each person within the Trinity has a distinct role, which is revealed most clearly in the grand plan of salvation. God the Father orchestrated the entire thing. God the Son redeems humanity by dying on the cross for their sins, and God the Spirit regenerates a new man in you and help you to be Christ-like. And it's the Father's seal of promise that you now belong to Him. Isn't that an amazing truth? Well, it's important that we know the Father didn't die for us, Jesus did. We don't call Jesus Father, neither does the Father dwells in us, but the Spirit of God. So, what is the implication? The implication is simply this, that we worship a God who is constant and eternal. And in that eternity was a relationship that God has with Himself as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Love and community already existed in the Trinity, and we are all made in His image. And no Christian should think of himself or herself as complete and whole in Him or Himself, except in relationship to one another. And that is why the MCO is so, so difficult for many of us, because we need to relate to one another, because we are made in God's image. But more importantly is that we are made to relate to this God. And so that's the Trinitarian God. I know there's so much that I can say about Trinity, but yet, you know, in the human mind trying to explain that, we actually fail, except by the revelation of Scripture to us. And so that's the Trinitarian God. And second thing, you know, in that first line of the Apostles' Creed is the Creator God, meaning that He's the infinite God. Well, again, once again, the first line says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. So what did He do? Now, in Acts chapter 17, verse 24, it says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then He spoke. Now, we know the story. When He spoke, things came into being from nothing. And so, the few things about that creation, the what? He made the entire universe. He's infinitely powerful, before anything, God is. He created matter, He created energy, space, time, and life out of nothing. From the extraordinary complex system of the universe to the tiniest atomic particle, including, you know, the COVID-19 as well. And Acts chapter 17, verse 25 says that He is not served by human hands, as if He's needed anything. Rather, He Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. So from the what, this is the who. He created life. And we are actually amazingly made from two living cells. And He breathed life into us. And then from Acts chapter 17, verse 26, from one man, He made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He marked out the appointed time in history and the boundaries of their land. And this basically answers the questions of where. He determines when we are born and when we die. And He determines where and when we live. And this is something very important. He is the Lord of history, meaning that we are all not Malaysian by accident. We actually are the right place at the right time. And right now we live in a really exciting time, and God did not make a mistake. So what's the implication? You see, in the light of what's happening, you know, in the world right now, we must recognize that our lives are in the hands of this powerful God who is omniscient, meaning all-knowing, who is omnipotent, He's all-powerful, and He's omnipresent, He's ever-present, He is everywhere. Now, in Acts 17:28, it says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." So, He is powerful, therefore, the implication is, worship Him. You know, there is a saying, power tends to corrupt, and absolutely power corrupts absolutely. But not this power. He is powerful, but His power is restorative, it is redemptive, it is personal, it is compassionate. Now, I'm not sure whether you know, but on the new earth one day, we will be living under a system of dictatorship. Now, when I mention the word dictatorship, you are reacting. Now, dictatorship means absolute power. And one day when Jesus is king on the new earth, He will have absolute power. In that definition, it is a dictatorship. But this system of dictatorship is one of what I call, now listen carefully here, is called benevolent dictatorship, meaning that this dictator is kind, he's understanding, he's generous and sympathetic. It seems to be on the opposite poles of what we understand by the word dictator, but it can only work in the perfection of God. Now, this is a power from which we draw security, we draw nourishment, confidence, and strength. You see, God's power is not only just above us, but He's also alongside us, beneath us, and within us. And it's in respect of the fact that God is a creator that we serve people, for example, because people are made in the image of God. And we also take care of the earth in honor of God. And this is why as Christians, we must be concerned about creation care. We must be concerned about, you know, allowing our earth to be healthy in order for our next generation to be able to live here. And so we need to be able to think of God in that way. Now, we can therefore turn to this God who is all-powerful and realize this, which I've been saying. We are not in control. God is. And so from the whole idea of the Trinitarian God, the Creator God, now let me come to you this part of the aspect of God, which to me is an important part as well. It's called the Father God, the intimate God. Now, reading from that first line of the Apostle Creed, I believe in God the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. Now, some of us have problem associating God as a Father. Well, why is that so? Because of our own earthly experience with our own father. Now, see this a picture right now on the screen. It's a photo of a big man on a bike and with a young boy. I don't know whether this is a son, but I think it is a son. And he's holding tightly to the man right in front of him. I can picture we ourselves as well. You know, so often we need to hang on to something in our life. And this photo here candidly, you know, reminds me of the need that we have to hold on to something, and this Father God is a big Father that we are holding on to. And that's, in some sense, a good and beautiful picture. Now, the brokenness of an absentee father has played out in so many of our lives. And that is why we cannot understand God as a father until we understand how we are adopted as a child of God. And that is why knowing the truth is so important for everyone listening to this. That even though we may have, you know, a bad experience of our own father, for some of us, we thank God there are some good fathers in our experience as well. But for many of us who have come from a family that is broken, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we come to know the Heavenly Father, we find it so difficult to be able to relate to God as my Father. And I believe that God is going to change that in your life. You know, He's going to allow you to experience Him in a fresh new way. You know, there is a story, a Spanish story, about a broken relationship between a father and a son. Well, one day the son ran away because of an argument, and the father set off to find him. Now, he searched for months to no avail. And finally, in the last desperate effort to find him, the father put an advertisement in the Madrid newspaper, and the advertisement read this way, "Dear Paco," which is his name, and he said, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." You know, on that Saturday, because the name Paco is so common, 800 Pacos showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. And I believe this is something that is going on in our society as well. That many, because of their own broken relationship, whether men or women, in their broken relationship with their fathers, they find it so hard to relate, to even pray to this Heavenly Father, a God who is a Father, and to even say, "Dear Heavenly Father," is something so difficult for them. And I believe God is doing a healing process for many, many of us. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 15 says this, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father." Now, that word Abba is an Aramaic, that means the local dialect, the Hebrew dialect, and that Abba means daddy in our English language. Well, in that word daddy, He represents what's good and right of how earthly fathers should be, the care, the love, and the provision, and the protection. Now, like I said, unfortunately, many of us, you know, may not have experienced that in our earthly father, but yet this Heavenly Father now comes around to you and say, there is such a Father. And Jesus Himself described this in Luke chapter 11, you know, verse 11 to 13. He said, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" You know, it's amazing that you have a Father who deeply loves you and adopted you, and the Holy Spirit who will never leave you. You know, I know of a brother in DUMC as well. You know, it's quite interesting. He told me that he didn't know that he was an adopted son of this family. And he only found out in his 40s that he is actually adopted. And he said it was so awkward for him when he discovered that. And he went to meet, you know, his biological family. And there were so many thoughts that went through his mind. But there's one thing that he told me is this. He's thankful for his adopted parents who was willing, you know, to adopt him in the midst of the difficulty in his biological family. Now, I want to just end by this video clip from a movie called The October Baby. Now, in this clip here of a scene common in the July, August of the year in America, now young people go off to college away from home. And the story is about a young lady called Hannah. Now, in that story, Hannah thanked her father for wanting her. So let me give you the backstory behind it. See, Hannah, It was adopted from birth. Now, in the senior high years, she finds out this truth accidentally from the family doctor. And surprise, she got upset with her own adoptive parents for not letting her know. In protest, she sets out to find her biological mother, which she does find. And when she went and see her biological mother, sadly, she was not welcome and effectively rejected now a second time by her birth mother. And then she returns home, brokenhearted and even more angry. Eventually, the local pastor helped her to see what grace is all about and what is grace for her. And through it all, including her angry and bitter weeks when she was upset with her adoptive parents, you know, she realized that her adoptive parents accepted and still embraced her as their own. She was their chosen child to love. They wanted her. Now, I want you to watch this video. Notice what she said at the end.
Okay, I think that's the last of it. Call us, all right? Let us know who your roommate is. Try not to pick anybody too weird.
I'll be fine, Dad. I'm coming.
Okay.
I gotta go. Thank you.
For what?
For wanting me.
You gotta go. I love you, baby.
Isn't that amazing? At the end, she said, "Thank you for wanting me." And then when I saw this video, you know, there was a tear in my own eye. Because I realized that as I am, one who deserved the wrath of God, one who has such sins in my own life, but yet this God chose me. And I could echo the words of Hannah, "Thank you for wanting me." And so here we have a God who is a Trinitarian God. And not only, you know, He's a Trinitarian God, He is the Creator God, and He is the Father Almighty. So, in view of that, what is our response to the COVID-19 pandemic in the light of "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth"? And so it is amazing that even as we look at, you know, how much God loves us, I pray that the truth of God the Creator, God the Father, will be something that will be so much in our mind as we, no matter what we go through in life. So what are you going through in life right now? And I pray that it will bring you back to the big idea that I shared from the very beginning. And that big idea is simply this, that the infinite God who invites me to intimacy. So we have a Creator God as our Father, but yet this Heavenly Father who loves us so deeply. And so I pray that no matter what you're going through right now, we can go to the Creator God who is all-powerful, but we can also go to our Heavenly Father who loves us so deeply. Church, this is the God that you believe in. And I pray through this that no matter what we go through in life, we rest on that fact that this is my Father who is the Creator, who is also my Heavenly Father. Let us bow our heads and pray. Once again, I want to encourage all of us, as I would do every weekend when I preach. I would ask you this question: what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Whether it is one aspect of Him that He's speaking to you about Him being the Creator God, the all-powerful God, the infinite God, or another aspect of Him where He talks about, when the Bible revealed to us about the God who is Father Almighty, the intimate God. We all have different needs in our life. And will you come to Him right now? Whatever issue that is in your hand, surrender it to this Creator God and surrender it to this Almighty God. And I pray through this that you may have the peace of God in your life. And I want to speak to those who are not Christian here. You know, every weekend, especially in church, I get to meet many people who come. They're not Christian, but they will still come because they felt a need in their life to find out who this God is. And you know, you're not watching this by chance, but God has led you to this sermon to listen to it so that you know a little bit more about who this God is. I want to give an opportunity. If this sermon has spoken to you in one way or another, I want to challenge you even right now to a decision. Now, this may be a life-changing decision for you, because this decision here will help you understand what it means to be adopted by this God who is a Creator and this God who is Father Almighty. Now, how do you, you know, allow yourself to be adopted by this God? You do it simply by a prayer. There's nothing you can do to save yourself except what God has already done for you. The only thing that you need to do is to respond. And how do you respond? By saying three things to God. You say sorry, you say thank you, and then you say please. Now, what do I mean by this? You say sorry to God because you've been running your own life. You have neglected this God here, and you're only really coming to Him when you're in trouble. And I think that is a life of independence from God. And you know, in that sense, you know, we didn't want God in our life, and so therefore sometimes we messed up. We really messed up big time. And we do not know where else can we turn to. And so we say sorry to God. Sorry for what we have done. And then secondly, we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. That I should be the one on the cross, but yet you went to the cross to die for my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that, because I know you died on my behalf. And the third thing is to say please. In any friendship, is always an invitation. In our friendship with God, it's an invitation to Him. And says that, please come into my life. And so when you say, please come into my life, you accept the forgiveness of your sins, you accept what Jesus died on the cross for you, and you repent. And you repent not with your strength, but with the strength of God, that you may be able to live the kind of life God has called you to. And then thirdly, you say, please, please come into my life and make me a new person again. And so, you know, if that's a desire of your heart, will you bow your heads right now and pray this short prayer together with me? And in that prayer, if you mean it sincerely in your heart, God will come into your life. You say, dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the sins in my life. I'm sorry that I've done things that are wrong in your sight and wrong to people around me. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that on the cross that you say you have forgiven me. And today I receive your forgiveness. And please come into my life. Make me a new person. Make me a child of God. And now you are my adopted Father in heaven. And you have adopted me as your son or daughter. And today, thank you that I am child of God. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have said that prayer, now, this is what I want you to do. If you're on a computer, you go to the button on that computer that says, raise hands. And after raising your hand, all right, in that sense, there's another button for you to click to say, request prayer. And then someone will come, you know, to you online and just talk to you and maybe get some info for you, or maybe to get info from you so that we can get in touch with you to help you in your Christian growth. And so I hope you will do that, because it's important for us to keep in touch with you no matter where you are in the world. And for those of us, you know, who are already Christians or even not a Christian, you want prayer, there's another button there called live prayer. And if you do need prayer for healing, prayer, you know, for whatever needs in your life, maybe prayer for your businesses that may be failing because of this MCO, or maybe you have an illness in such a way that, you know, it is so difficult for you, you are in pain, and even right in your room right now, you need someone to talk to and have someone pray with you, in the same way, you can do that as well. If you need a voice conversation, you know, just note that, in your keyboard to the person to say, this is my number, please call me, all right? And so I believe that this is a time that we want to be able to minister to you, and God is the one that will, you know, go and be with you even as you desire so in your heart. And so if you need prayer, like I say again, just click on that button, live prayer, someone will have a conversation with you. And so I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. And before, you know, you go, I want you to just raise your hands to the Lord. Just lift up your hands to the Lord. And even right now, you may have certain needs that you may not be going to live prayer right now, but where you are in your room, as you lift your hands to the Lord, if you have an illness in your life right now, tell you what, why don't you put your hand on that part of your body that needs healing? Or maybe there's a family member around you, you know the issues, the health issues with your loved ones, you go and lay your hands on that person. You know, because we want to pray, because the Holy Spirit is where you are right now in your home. And so as you do that, can you go right now very quickly to anyone who needs prayer for healing? Just go to that person, or put your hands on yourself as well. Or it may be a heart issue, an emotional issue, a relationship issue. Just place your hands on your heart, because I believe God will minister to you. So whatever your needs may be, remember the Holy Spirit is right where you are right now. So I'm just give you a moment of time. Just be quiet before God right now and just invite Him. Say, Holy Spirit, will you minister, God, to this need that I have right now? Minister deep into my heart. Minister deep, Lord, into my mind right now. And most of all, Lord, minister deep into my spirit. So Holy Spirit, will you come and do a miracle, God, for whatever needs that there may be there right now. So thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, and thank you, Holy Spirit. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of His Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, Amen, Amen, Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.